Words in a manger immediately give us a mental picture of the event of the birth of Jesus. We are blessed in knowing that God sent His Son to be born of a virgin. He sent Jesus as Savior to be the Son of God, the Son of Man. Brother David Johnson will tell us about this birth on this Words of Life program. We are presented by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, good.
Triumphant, O come, ye, O come. Bethlehem. Come and adore him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Through heaven's high arches be your praises poured. Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we bless thee, born for our salvation. Oh, Jesus, forever be thy name adored. Word of the Father, now in flesh appear.
Father, as we open this prayer, we celebrate Jesus, knowing that he was born in humble surroundings for our salvation. Thank you for this holy expression of love and for giving us the truth of the Jesus being born. Please bless each of our listeners with understanding of your word and salvation that is found in Jesus. We also pray for all others in the world who are upholding your name. Just as we believe that Jesus was born and he lived perfectly among men, we also believe that we need to be ready for the promised return of Jesus at your appointed time. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak to us on the topic, In a Manger, based upon Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio, Christian radio broadcasts. As we look into the Word of God, and as we not only understand it better, but apply it to our lives. And may it be used by the Holy Spirit to convict the skeptic, the unbeliever, the searcher, to find Jesus, the Christ, as your personal Savior and Lord. The title for the lesson is In a Manger, and our text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Please listen to the Word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the word of God. During the Christmas season, house and yard decorations often depict both the sacred and the secular preferences of the kind of decorations and observances around Christmas time, at least in particularly Europe and North America. Of course, we can celebrate both as Christians, that is, the sacred and the secular. But there is certainly a great difference. Jesus Christ is factual. Santa Claus is fantasy. For most in the Western Hemisphere, Christmas is almost magical. Whether the priority is lighted tree and tinsel, or whether it is starlight and straw in a manger. It is sad, however, for Christians when fantasy overrides fact at an alarming rate in our society. For example, I read about a teenager in a store who picked up a greeting card, and seeing a baby in a manger depicted on it, he exclaimed, "Imagine that! They're even trying to drag religion into Christmas." Sad. Christmas is basically a celebration of the incarnation, which is God's Son, God's one and only Son, becoming flesh, a baby born in Bethlehem of Judea, or of Judah. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We should understand that in ancient times, newborns were wrapped in cloths to keep infants warm and to give them a sense of security. These cloths were also believed to protect their internal organs. Actually, this custom of wrapping infants in bands of cloth is still practiced in some Mideastern countries today. The detail of the manger is the reason for the belief that Jesus was born in a stable. Stables were often caves with mangers or feeding troughs carved into the rock walls. Despite popular Christmas card depictions, the surroundings were probably not neat and lighted, but in a cave, stable, dirty, and dark. However, according to Scripture, this baby in a manger is not just another to come into the world. This baby is the bread of life. As bread is a staple for physical life, so Jesus Christ is the Savior for spiritual life and even eternal life through saving faith in Him. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is regarding spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. Jesus continued in John chapter 6 and verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Here, Jesus speaks prophetically of his body to be given as an atoning sacrifice upon the cross. The Son of God came to earth, became one of us, flesh and blood, to voluntarily offer his life to redeem mankind from its sin. From a crude manger to a cruel cross, Jesus Christ gave his all for mankind. Surely many would agree, whether sacred or secular, that Christmas is about giving. Christians believe the ultimate giving, the greatest gift, is as revealed in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God gave his love to mankind. God proved his love by giving his one and only Son. God gives believers eternal life with him. However, we must give God our trust, our faith, our persevering faith. Christmas is a commemorative celebration that this one born in Bethlehem, placed in a manger, is all the fullness of deity in bodily form, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 in the New Testament. Who came to live among mankind, to reveal himself to us, to identify himself with us, and to give himself for us as Savior of the world. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The wonder of the incarnation, the birth of Christ, can be basically summed up with these three words: revelation, identification, salvation. First, consider the incarnation, that is, made flesh, as revelation. To know God has been the desire of peoples throughout the ages. From prehistoric man to today, people want to know God. An Imperial Roman historian has written that he could find in his time cities without stadiums, without theaters, but he could not find cities without temples. There is a God-given inner longing in the heart for human beings to know God, or at least some higher power. But how can we humans know the true one, who is creator of all, who is indescribable and incomprehensible? As believers, there are great revelations of the one true God, yes, in the Old Testament of the Bible. However, the most accessible, the most personal revelation of God is the person of Jesus Christ. An apostle once asked Jesus, "Show us the Father." Jesus answered in John chapter 14 and verses 9 and 10 in part. I'm quoting in part. "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? So if someone asks you, 'What is God like?' a great answer is, 'God is like Jesus Christ.' God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God-man. He has a dual nature. He is fully God and fully man. Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man. The essence of Christianity is this: Jesus Christ is God. He is not just a part of God or just related to God. He was and is God, who came to this earth to die on a cross as an atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world." The ancient Greeks believed God was incomprehensible. So what did God do? He came down to earth, became one of us in his incarnation, so that we could comprehend him. The Apostle John plainly wrote of God's self-revelation in John chapter 1 and verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Of course, that Word who became flesh is Jesus Christ. Secondly, the incarnation is identification. God came not only to reveal himself to mankind, but also to identify himself with mankind. One of the most famous czars, that is, ancient leaders of Russia, was Peter the Great. When he came to power, Russia was an isolated, backward land. The rulers before Peter the Great had been aloof, inaccessible to their subjects. However, Peter the Great changed all of that. He moved freely among his people, the Russian people, and identified himself with them. In a sense, that's what the Son of God, the one and only begotten Son of God, did. He became one of us. Born in Judea, became a carpenter in Galilee, died in our place outside of Jerusalem, not only to reveal God to us, but also to identify himself with us in order to be our sin substitute on the cross. He was born in a stable that he might identify with the homeless. He was born in the house of bread, or Bethlehem, that he might identify with the poor. He labored as a carpenter, that he might identify with the working class. He was born a Jew, that he might identify with the oppressed. He died on a cross, that he might identify with the suffering and sinners. Although he himself was and is sinless. Thirdly, the incarnation is salvation. He came not only to reveal God, not only to identify himself with us, he came manifestly to give himself fully on the cross for our salvation. The Son of God became the Son of Man, his incarnation, so that we could become sons and daughters of God, added, adopted to his family. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5 says in part in the New Testament, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the full rights of sons. Jesus Christ came as Savior to offer salvation to all mankind, not just to Israel, but to all of mankind. He came first to Israel, first to the Jew, but his salvation is offered to all accountable human beings, all mankind, all accountable human beings to be able to have the ability to put their faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that they're sinners. Christ's salvation saves believers from self-destruction, leading to eternal destruction, the second death. On the cross, Christ said, "It is finished." He had finished his mission to the earth on behalf of mankind to offer himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. The Greek word translated "finished" was used of a soldier who was sent on a special mission and had finished his mission. Christ's mission was salvation as Savior, as Redeemer of mankind from its sin. Savior of the world, of course, only effectual to those who receive him by faith. "It is finished" also meant the sacrifice was finished. There was no need for more sacrifices. The suffering servant of God had provided the perfect sacrifice for our salvation once and for all of those who receive him by faith. This effectual to each one only through saving faith in Christ and his work on the cross on our behalf. This Christmas, we again remember Mary's firstborn was placed in a manger. But he didn't stay in a manger. Jesus worked in a carpenter's shop, but he didn't stay in a carpenter's shop. He died on a cross, but he didn't stay on the cross. His body was placed in a borrowed tomb, but he did not stay in the tomb. Jesus is now in heaven, but he's not going to stay there. He's coming back to take believers home to heaven with him. The birth of a baby is a joyful occasion. However, being born again, now that's really joyful and of most importance for each one into eternity. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? That is, believing and obeying Christ as Lord, which includes repenting, confessing, and being baptized into Christ Jesus. And that is just the beginning of our Christian journey. Jesus Christ died for us in order that we would live for him in persevering faithfulness and obedience.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round. tender and mild, sweet in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beam from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Is Jesus your Savior? Or do you just enjoy hearing about him at Christmas time? You need the Savior. If we can help you with information about becoming a Christian, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and last week's program, please write to us. Our CDs are a great way to share Jesus with a friend. You are listening to program 2352. That's 2352. Please ask for it by number. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.